glory ahead of time for the miracles. We give you the glory ahead of time for what you've done and going to do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you say that? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. It's exciting to be together with all of God's people and throughout the world, knowing that the Word of God changes us. You're quiet. The Word of God changes you, right? Hallelujah. The Word of God gives us life. Hallelujah. And it's a tipping point. We got a little demonstration we'll do in a little bit. But here's the scales. And our theme for this month is tipping point. That's the best we could find. Hallelujah. But I want to show you something after a while, how God works and how we as believers can work with the plan of God. So the title to the message this morning will be revealed as we read some scripture out of Luke chapter 2. And we begin with reading with verse 40 this morning. It's out of the New King James. It says, "And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and grace of God was upon him." 41, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, so it was that after three days, they found him in the midst of the temple, sitting in the midst of his teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?'" Not only was it a day's journey, but it was a day's journey back to Jerusalem, and then it was 3 days to try to find him. You know, they used their cell phones and media and everything, and all tried to get somebody to locate Jesus, right? No, that's not true. They didn't have those back then. But anyway, they did everything possible, asked their friends and relatives to see, where's this our son? Any 12-year-olds in here today, or are they all down in class? So 12-year-old, right there's one. Can you imagine doing that to your mom? Stand behind when you're supposed to be with them. But see, he said, I was about my father's business. And to tell you a story, our daughter has 9 children, and 7 of them were traveling from Nashville to Atlanta, where they live, and in 2 different cars. And the youngest one is 8 years old, and they stopped at a truck stop, he was with the siblings, and he said, "I want to go with mom." So he said, "Okay." So he got out of the car to go with mom. Well, mom didn't know he was supposed to ride with him, so they take off, and guess what? Sammy's left behind, 8 years old. But God had an angel for him. He was standing beside the road, and this woman with a daughter saw that this young boy looked lost, and so she sent her daughter over to speak to him and said, "What's wrong? Are you lost, or did somebody leave you?" And he said, "Yeah, my parents left me." I guess one of the first things he asked her is, "Are you a Christian?" And she was. But to make a long story short, with the police's help, they traveled back a half hour, and the family traveled back a half hour or so, and they were connected again. So while we were with them this past year before Christmas, we talked to Sammy, and he said, "I don't want to talk about it." Hallelujah. But can you imagine losing your son and frantically trying to find him in the crowd and throngs of people? And here he is, comfortably sitting in the midst of scholars and Pharisees and scribes, listening to them, asking them questions with all kinds of wisdom. And And mommy says, "Why did you do this to us, son?" And he said, "Don't you know? I must be about my father's business." The father has a business for us. There's a work and a plan for us. God has a plan for your life. God has a place for you. I was sharing, let's say that there was a big puzzle up here, and it was a puzzle of life of the Christian church, and it was each little piece is one of you. Do you think that to make that puzzle complete, that you would fit into that puzzle? Yes, of course. You have a part and a place in the plan of God. You are not left outside of the plan of God. God has a place for you to shine, for you to work, for you to go about the Father's business, to make a difference. So what is the Father's business for you and me? It's very plain. The plan of God for you and me, I believe, is different than it was for Jesus, and yet it's very much the same. The plan of God for your life. And if we parallel it with the life of Jesus, it's very much the same. Because Jesus, in Luke 19, he said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And we are a lost nation. We're a lost people. And without God, we're going straight to hell. We need salvation. Hallelujah. So when we're found and we're transformed and restored back into the Father, then we can get busy with the Father's business. We go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go to Matthew 28 verse 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He was speaking to who? He was speaking to whom? His disciples. So Jesus, our shepherd, came to us, hallelujah, looking for the lost. And as a shepherd, he gave his life for us, the lost. Hallelujah. So that we could be restored and we could be reconnected and inspired and have a relationship with the God the Father, the Lord God himself. Hallelujah. And that we could come again into the plan that he had for us from creation. God didn't plan for man and his children or his son to be separated from him, but sin came in. That little serpent, that enemy, came in and brought deception. And we see it all around us today. The deception is still alive. But thanks be to God who sent his son Jesus, hallelujah, that if we would believe on him, that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could be reconnected to the Father, and the plan that was in place from the beginning could continue in our lives, hallelujah. You guys are really quiet. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah, amen, glory to God. You can raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I get excited when I speak about the good things of God. I get excited when I see miracles and see God transforming people. Hallelujah. So we need to go about the Father's business, finding the lost. Hallelujah. Help them reconnect. Find the lost. Lead them to Christ. Bring healing on them. Teach them the things of the Lord. Jesus gave his life. Do we have to? Well, we need to dedicate our life. And the answer is yes, there are some that are martyred when they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some die. Some are cruelly killed. But we need to continue on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in Mark, where we read, in verse, I think, 16, 14, that says, when he brought them together, Jesus rebuked his disciples. He rebuked them. Those that were gathered together, he rebuked them, he said, for unbelief and hardness of heart. And I believe that today that we need to hear the word of the Lord and allow him to take away the hardness of our heart and come against our unbelief, because we're living in a day when things look crazy, when things all over the world are happening. If you listen to the news media, if you follow anything at all, you know that we are in the last days, hallelujah, and God is doing something supernatural, even though when we look at the other things that are happening, it looks impossible that things could ever get any better. Well, they will as we pass on to glory, hallelujah, but on this earth, God has called us as the believers to take a stand, hallelujah. So we are they or them that God was talking to, that Jesus was giving the Great Commission to. Them, and they were the disciples of God. You believe in Jesus? John 8 and verse 31, it says, Jesus said, if you abide in my words, hallelujah, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed. So as believers, we are the disciples called to do the Father's business. As disciples, you're quiet. What's going on? Are you? My goodness, are you awake this morning? Hallelujah. We are called to do the Father's business, and this is your right, okay? So the Word of God is the tipping point. The call of God is the tipping point for you and me. The call of God is what inspires us to go on. So Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words are in you, then you are my disciples. We have a whole lot of disciples out here today. Oh no, that was just for the 11. No, it was for all of the believers. Hallelujah. It says in Matthew 28:17, it says, when they saw him, Jesus. See, this is the first time that many of the disciples saw Jesus after his resurrection. It's when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I'm here today to tell you we have to wipe out doubt and unbelief and hardness of heart and continue on with the plan that God has for us, and that is to reach the lost, those who are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. Men didn't choose you. The church didn't choose you. God has chosen you. We go to John chapter 15 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Wait till it gets it up there. John chapter 15, verse 16. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good to us today. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. And I know it's reaching out into the airwaves and to the places where you're living in your homes, that the power of God is so strong, is so available for you. If you can just grab a hold of it, that God has a plan for your life, that God wants to work miracles in your life. As we read this scripture, John 15 and verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. If you go back to verse 15, he says, I'm not calling you servants anymore, I'm calling you friends. You're friends of God. Hallelujah. You're part of God's enlarged family, sons and daughters, children of the Most High King. We're a family of God, and as a family of God, God has chosen us to go out and bear fruit. He's chosen us to make a difference in this world. He's chosen us to seek and to save that which is lost. And I believe that Jesus came, he shared knowledge with us of the Father and of his goodness and his love and his mercy, his grace and his forgiveness. Jesus shared that with us as the believers so that we would know how our Father is. We can find almost 100% of how he is in the Word of God, but it's also nice to hear the Master speak. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, the prophet mourns for his people. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. I hope that we never say that. I pray that we as a church will get a vision and not make those statements. I believe that we need to catch the passion that Jesus had for the people, just as Jeremiah here. He had a passion. his passion was for his lost people and the sick people, and he was mourning and grieving over his people, the children of Israel. And if you read, if you go back to chapter 7, it talks that the people departed from the truth in verses 8 through 11. We're not going to read those. They departed from the truth, yet they came to the temple and worshiped the Lord. They departed from the truth. Their lives were not living true. They were not obedient to the commandments of God. And yet they came and worshiped and acted like they were okay. And I don't know if that's a greater picture of what we're seeing today in the church. I believe it is, but in verses 19 and 20 of Jeremiah 7, it said that God becomes very angry and he does not like the falseness. And Jeremiah goes on to say in verse 22, he says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people or the wounds of my people?" He's searching for someone that makes a difference. He's searching for someone that will stand up and speak the truth and follow the truth. And yet he can't find anyone because they have been so deceived in believing that they're okay when they're doing all kinds of sin and rebelling against the commandments of God. To me, that sounds like the church of today. I believe that we have to find a passion. We must find a passion for the lost and dying. There's many that are dying without Christ today. There's a brother in the Philippines, in Asia. We got a Filipino here somewhere. Oh, there she is. But this brother, I think he was maybe from Korea, but his name is Chi Ping Wong. He did a study. He wrote a book about fulfilling prophetic destiny of the Philippines, and was given to us by a couple pastors that knew this man. Brother Welly gave it to us. I was talking to Dave Wagner. He knows him. But he says in Matthew 24 and 14, where it says, "And all the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." The word nations really means ethnos. And ethnos is specific people of the same language and culture rather than a country. Ethnos is people groups. In the Philippines alone, there are 300 different people groups and 80 different dialects. Amen? And if he's figured everything correct, we need to open our eyes, because here's what he's saying. Facts about our world is that there are 24,000 people groups in the world, and the church has only reached 14,000 of those people groups. There's still 10,000 people groups that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never been evangelized, never had the word taken to them. And so 50,000 people are dying daily, never having heard God's word. 18 million souls a year. And here we are, the church, fighting over the color of the carpet and the kind of carpet on the pews and the color of the building and where to park our cars. Come on, church! We need to get on fire and do what God has called us to do, reach the lost. 35% of the people in the U.S. and Canada say they're Christians, but in reality, 7.3% are born again. Wycliffe Bible Translator says there's 6,809 languages in the world, and they still have 3,000 languages to translate the Bible into. There's still 3,000 languages that have never had the Word of God translated into their language. We have to open up our heart, find the passion that Jesus had. He gave his life on the cross for the lost, which is you and me. He hung on that cross to make it possible for you and I to enter in. For God so what loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you're one of those whosoever, believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And all those who don't confess Jesus as Lord, don't repent of their sins, don't accept Jesus as Lord of their life, as Savior of their life, they're dying and going straight to hell. And we don't like to talk about hell. Hell's not a fun place. But many make jokes, about going to hell and doing this or that in hell. And sorry, that's not going to happen, folks. I was raised in a strict religious church, sect, if you will, and I heard about heaven and hell a lot. And I don't want to die and go to hell, neither do you. And you don't have to. Because if you hear of the love of God, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accept that, you don't have to enter into that place where the Bible talks about the days coming when God's going to send his angels to divide, we could say, the sheep and the goats, or the tares and the wheat, and the tares are going to be burned up and cast into the unbelieving. It says, cast the unbeliever in the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You'll be burning up. There's going to be total destruction. There's going to be total hate for eternity, which means forever. And I can't emphasize it enough. And we as the church have backed off from preaching against hell because it might keep somebody from coming to church. But I don't want to go to hell, and neither do you. If you really knew what it was all about, you wouldn't make jokes about it. You wouldn't wear t-shirts that say, I'm going to hell, I'm proud of it, or I just love to go to hell. No, you wouldn't. But we need to repent. We need to buy some fire insurance, right? Fire insurance, keep us from going there. And that assurance is grace of God. That assurance is having met our Savior and asking him to forgive us of our sins and repenting of our sins and turning away from our sins and changing our behavior. Making Christ the Lord of our life. Hallelujah. You'll find out how much God loves you and how much his forgiveness will wash you and cleanse you. You know the truth now, right? Those of you who are hearing me, you know the truth. That with sin in your life, with unforgiven sin in your life, you're going straight to hell. But with the grace of God and forgiveness, you're going to spend eternal life with him, with Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. And if you embrace the truth of God's word, you're going to be ready for what? The Father's business. Hallelujah. We need to shine the light. Last night, we had a unique service. There was no electricity here. And it was dark in here, so the group of us that were here that didn't, I think it was Pastor Stephen's fault because a tree split in his front yard and fell on the electrical wires, and we had no electricity. But anyway, we had an awesome service out there in the foyer and worship team, and it just, God met us there. And so it's exciting to know that we don't have to be in this formal, every time in a formal area. But God can meet you in your closet, in your car, in the back fields. Hallelujah. But we're supposed to shine the light. And we had to shine the light last night. I used a little bit of a light from my pen. It worked great. It worked in the Philippines. Why wouldn't it work here, right? Hallelujah. Jesus says in John 9, 4 and 5, he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I didn't give them those notes, but you can write them down. John 9, verse 4 and 5. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I'm going to work the plan, the purpose that I've been sent to do. Because there's a day coming, there's a night coming when no man can work. What does that mean? We're going to be cut off from the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to be lifted from this earth. But Jesus said, as long as I am this world, I am the light of the world. So he's talking to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Hallelujah. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. God has called us to be a light in the world, to make a difference. I've shared this probably here, but I like to share it about. We had a 2-year-old son with us. He went to work with Mama every day, and And one day a salesman came to check some things, and he said, "Hey, I'll take you guys out to lunch." And so, okay, we go to lunch, and we had our two-year-old son with us, and he had ordered a hamburger and french fries, and I don't know what we had, but this salesman was doing a lot of foul language, almost every other word out of his mouth. And our two-year-old son takes a french fry, he dips it in his ketchup, and he holds it up. He says, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." The man never said another curse word the whole time we were there. Hallelujah. See, we can let our light shine. We've been called to let our light shine. There's a story of a young boy in New York City standing on the street, and he has a piece of a broken mirror in his hand, and he's kind of shabby and, you know, not so clean, but he's kind of looking up at a building, and a gentleman comes along and says, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "You see way up there in that window, my brother is sleeping up there in bed. He can't get out of bed. He's an invalid. He can't leave." And he said, "I take this mirror and I shine sunlight up to him. That's the only light he gets to see." So it doesn't matter how broken you are, how little you are, you can shine some light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has called us to be what? The light of the world. Hallelujah. Verse 16, Matthew. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Hallelujah. It's kind of like to pray again, you know? Father, help us be a light. Help us to make a difference. Isaiah 16, verse 1, it says, "Arise and shine, for what? Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is where risen upon you. And gross darkness will cover the earth, and darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness, my people, but the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you." We have to shine our light. We have to be able to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. We have to be strong. Not opinionated, but strong in God's word, in the truth of his word. I remember a couple of years ago, Dave and Carolyn went with Shirley and I to the Philippines, and the pastor said, "We have a village we'd like to go to." And to my knowledge, the gospel has never been preached there. So we get in this vehicle and we drive through this path across the rice fields and down a trail and up a hill and around a village and back. And I thought, where are we going there? Well, it was the back 40. And there was a village back there. And to make the story really short, the gospel was preached there for the first time, and almost 100% of the village raised their hands to accept Jesus. And we came home and shared this story with you, and we've raised money to build a church. The pastor said, "I can build a church for $3,000, a thatched roof, bamboo sides, cement floor." And so even today, it's in the progress of being built. Plus, we raised enough money for them to dig a deeper well so they'd have plenty of water. But when they heard the love of God and that there was something greater, they immediately wanted it, because all they had were drugs and alcohol and everything else that was going on there. We need to shine the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I continue to go into a demonstration, I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. When I was ordained as a minister, we took an oath and we were given a charge. This is what the charge was. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I took that oath. My wife took that oath as we were ordained. You see, we have to preach the revealed truth of this word. If we don't, we know what's happening, and we've seen it. Oh, hallelujah. We've seen what's happened. A bumper sticker many years ago, bumper stickers were popular. You're the only Bible some people read. You know, people are looking to you. If you say you're a born-again believer, that you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, they watch you. And we don't know how much they watch us, but they're looking for you not to fail but to succeed, because they want a role model to look up to. They don't know Jesus as their Savior yet. They're looking to you. In fact, you become Jesus to them for a while until you're able to lead him to the Lord and Savior. So when we fail, it's sad, but if you get back up again and continue on, they see there's hope for them. Because we're all going to make mistakes and we're all going to fail at some point, but we don't live in failure, we live in victory. Hallelujah. We live in victory, amen? Church, we live in victory. Hallelujah. How bright is your light shining? People are wanting to call themselves Christians without changing their life. And the truth is, in John chapter 8, 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth," and what? "The truth shall make you free." The truth will set you free. The truth will keep you free. Hallelujah. So we know that this is truth. This is truth. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16, that says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. This is truth, the word of God. And it is the tipping point. Hallelujah. Also, it says that holy men of God were inspired to give prophetic words that were written in this book. And all the prophecies of Jesus coming when he did were fulfilled. And holy men of God were inspired. And now we have prophecies of his second coming, hallelujah, when the church is going to be raptured away. And I don't know if you're believing that, but it says the holy men of God were inspired to prophesy what is written in this book. So this is truth. And so before I go on, I want to give you a disclaimer, if I may. You know, if you take medicine, they say you might get this or that or that or this or that. And so I want to do a disclaimer. If I preach the truth, you might feel nausea. You might feel a little sick. You might, guilty, shame. You might be convicted. But the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. And the truth of God's word, if you obey it, will bring freedom to your life. So we've seen all of these things coming to pass, all of these things that are taking place today in our world. We could start with this one, lying and slander all around us. Oh, hallelujah. And then there's this word we call it hyper grace. You can live the way you want. You can do whatever you want. And you're going to heaven because God is love. He'll never send you to hell. And we see this all around us. And we're going to read scripture to back all this rioting and destruction. And let's go to Galatians 5. Let's begin to read what it says there in the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery and fornication. We'll stop there for a minute. Adultery and fornication. Today, people are living together, sleeping together, not married. And the exciting part is that you can change that by getting married. You know, but the people are sleeping around and doing all these things, and they think it's okay, but it's not okay. It's against God's word as we continue to read. Leave that up there. We're going to continue to read more. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Let's go to the next verse. Idolatry. Somewhere I have that, didn't I? Idolatry. witchcraft. People are bold with idolatry. They don't care. Witchcraft, they have them on their license plates. Even in our little town of Kelowna, a woman has Wiccan on her license plates. She's not ashamed. But we'll continue to read on sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Keep going. Envy, murders, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice those things. It doesn't say those who are delivered from those things. It doesn't say those who have been set free from those things. But those who practice those things. We can't accept a lifestyle like this and say we're going to be all right. See, that's what brought God's anger out in the prophet Jeremiah was talking there in Jeremiah 7 is, these people say, I'm okay, hallelujah, it's love, 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 God will never send anybody to hell. And we hear that so much today. But I want you to know God is a just God and he must punish sin. And I believe as a church, which is not this building, but as believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we as the church have to take a stand and say, stop, no more. Repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. I want to read out of Revelation also 21 7 and 8. It says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is showing, well, let's go on, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, and sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire, brimstone, which is the second death. Then he overcomes. It's showing us there's a possibility of overcoming these things. But we have all kinds of sexual impurities. Pornography is running rampant in this country. And this is one that is really destroying our nation, abortion, murder. I just read that those who commit murder cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And abortion and murder is being accepted by the church. Don't speak too loud, they might hear you. Is being accepted by the church. No, it's not accepted. You're going to burn in hell if you continue on that. And that is one of the places, his tipping point. See, the truth is being undermined. This is the truth of God's word, is the truth, but we are allowing all of those things to come in there and to offset the truth, and it becomes the tipping point and destruction of the church. And I want to read for this last one out of Romans chapter 1, 25 through 27. People who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship serve the creature rather than the creator, which is blessed forevermore. For this reason, God gave them up vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lusts one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was done. Homosexuality, everywhere we turn, accepted in many families. I'm not pointing a finger. Many families are affected by it. But it's been a big tipping point also in our nation's destruction. And we as the church, we must arise. We have to overcome. See, our hope is in overcoming. What did I read out of Revelation? He who overcomes, verse 7, 21, 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. There's a possibility for us to be free from these things. Not to accept them as a part of our life and say we're a Christian, we're a believer, we're going to heaven, hallelujah, glory to God. No, but we can be delivered from these sins and be set free because we know the truth. Hallelujah. And we walk in the truth. And if you're here today, or if you're hearing me and you're bound up in one of those things, I believe today that the power of God is here to set you free. Hallelujah, to deliver you. We love you. We care about you. And we believe that you have a part in the family of God, but you have to stop living in sin. Isaiah 55:6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Hallelujah. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. Brother, will you come to the piano? You're here somewhere. Help us in closing the worship. See, God says, if you turn from your wicked ways, come back to me, I'll pardon you, I'll forgive you. Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. We're living in a time. What does the word redeeming mean? Able to save people from sin, error, or evil. People that are called by God, chosen by God to bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Shine the light. Be about the Father's business. And learn that we have power in our hands to tip the scale back through truth, through prayer. See, prayer is the tipping point. Prayer is the tipping point. Hallelujah. Prayer is what will change things. In James 5, verses 13 to 15. Verse 13 says, if anyone is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and anoint him with oil. Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. And verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. We have the power and the authority to reach into the supernatural realm. Are you hearing me, church? We have the power and authority to reach into areas where the enemy seems to have taken over and pulled down strongholds through our lips and through our prayer and through our intercession. Hallelujah. And we as a church, we have to rise up in this day and hour. We will not have the freedom that we have today. Our freedom will be taken away, and we'll have to meet in secret. But today we have that freedom. And if we as a church will arise and proclaim the truth of the gospel, and we will pray and intercede, we will overturn these sins. Hallelujah. And the church will rise triumphant. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, I've got to quit, but God is speaking to me to share a few things with a few people before I leave today, because I want to follow what God is saying. And Demu, I don't know what God is saying to you, but God is working in your life. And God has called you into a ministry. You haven't even stepped foot into what God's going to do. And you say, but you don't know my past, and I don't need to know your past, because the Lord Jesus has washed it all white as snow. And the Lord is saying, I've put a new path. It's like he's rolled out the red carpet for you, son. The Lord says, I've rolled out the red carpet for you. And wherever you feel like the Holy Spirit is taking you, the Lord says, I'll be with you in that. But there's a ministry in your life, and there's a call for you to walk in that ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And there's a young lady sitting way in the back, and her name is Nikki. People call her Nikki. But you know, when you were up here last Sunday, the Lord spoke to me about you. Your place is in leadership. Your place is in worship. Your place is to take a stand, because there's so many women looking to you for answers. And you have the answers in you. You have pulled back from those answers, but the answers are in you, Nikki. And God's going to bring forth that ministry in these days. So please, hear the word of the Lord. Step forward. Take a hold of that light and hold it up. Shine it brightly. The Lord bless you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's our Filipino girl and her husband? The Lord is saying, you've not been brought to America for no reason at all or to escape the Philippines, but you have been brought here to talk to people and to reach people. You little sweet little Filipino lady, I tell you what, you have so much compassion in you. And the Lord hears you when you pray. And God is going to use you to touch people's lives, and you're going to lead the lost to the Lord Jesus. So take a hold of that. Don't back up no more. Take a hold. You and your husband work together because the call of God is on your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. I want to honor the time that we've had together, but I want to honor you that you've been here, you've put up with me, but really, if you're convicted today, get a hold of God. Get a hold of God. If you're convicted today, repent before the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you, wash you, cleanse you of your sins. Make Him Lord of your life and make Him the determination that you're not going to walk in those sins anymore, but you're going to follow the Lord in the truth of this word. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that gives life, gives us hope, that gives us new authority. Father, we thank you that you will move supernaturally for us in our areas where we're weak and where we need help, that you will come, your Holy Spirit will come and give us the strength that we need and the power that we need and the authority that we need. Hallelujah. That we can be about the Father's business today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Worthy, you bear a song we could ever sing.